Morning, it's good to be here with you and bring you greetings from the Cadillac Baptist Church. We haven't had an opportunity to say that at a conference yet, and so we're glad to bring you greetings from there. I think we're mostly here this morning as far as I can tell, and it's good to have our people here too. And it's a difficult thing we endeavor to do this morning, to see Jesus. I began to think about this, and the Bible says that Job was perfect, an upright man, one that eschewed evil. And there was not another person like Job in the whole earth at his time. And then at the end of the book of Job, he says to God that I've heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see you. As Job was, I just couldn't fathom to set myself on a level with Job. And yet Job had missed a nearness with God. There was another plane. There was another level of fellowship that he found. You might think that you've encountered everything there is to encounter about God, about religion, about His Word. You ever feel like you go to His Word and maybe you're going through a difficult time and you're looking for something new? You ever do that? You need a new verse. You need something new. You need something to help you, and maybe you get discouraged. You read some of the same old verses and they don't maybe offer you the hope you were looking for or the answers you were hoping to find. You know, there's in our economy, there's many looking for answers today. In our world today, we're looking for answers. And you might feel like you've tried everything there is to try with the Lord. You've prayed everything there is to pray, and you've read everything there is to read. And you still have not encountered Him in any way, shape, or form. I long to have more of a vision of who God is, and if we're going to do that, we'll have to discipline our minds to concentrate on Him, to concentrate on who He is spiritually, and that's what we're going to try to do today. I've begun studying the topic of prophet because I don't know that I've heard any messages about the Lord Jesus as prophet. I've heard it in songs, and it's probably been preached here or there, but when he mentioned that topic, the three topics that he mentioned, I was at a loss for prophet, and so I hurried up and began studying that before he gave me my topic, because I thought, boy, that might be hard to preach for me, so I need to study that. And I started studying it, and then he called me a few days later and said, I'd like you to preach on prophet. I said, okay, all right, we'll do that. One of my favorite messages in the Bible is a message that Stephen preached in the book of Acts, chapter number 7, if you'll turn there. It's a long message. We can't re-look at all that message. There's church truth in that message. There's gospel in that message. It's an entire history lesson of the Bible in that message. It's a wonderful message. I've preached it a number of times. I love the example in Stephen. Stephen speaks about the church in the wilderness, which when Israel was assembled before the mount there, they were an ecclesia. As such, they were an assembly, they were one body. And I use that to teach church truth oftentimes. I like those verses. But he speaks about Moses, and that's what I want to look at, particularly verse number 37 of Acts chapter 7. As he was talking about all the things Moses did, he said, "This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord God, Lord your God, raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear." Like me. And I began to study that. What did he mean by a prophet like me? What was he trying to describe to them when he said a prophet like me? You know, when we think of prophets, many of us, but probably the first thing that comes to our mind is future telling. That's really a very small part of being a prophet, is future telling. It's a very tiny part of the whole bit. So I began to study about Moses and to try to get an understanding in Moses of what it meant. What he meant when he said, there's coming another prophet like me. What did he mean in that Jesus would be a prophet? What was he trying to describe? And you're going to find that a lot of these topics this morning are going to overlap each other, and I'll try not to preach anybody else's message. But as we've been studying about Jesus in our Sunday evening study at church, and just a couple Sundays, and one of the things I noticed is that the whole earth was looking for a man. They were looking for a man. They needed someone. We can see this. We can see this urgency from the very beginning. We can see it in the name of the sons that they had born to them. There were different things about the names of their sons that signified a coming man to come and help them. They were looking for someone. Noah's name meant rest. They were looking for some man to bring them rest. They were looking for someone. They were waiting for someone. Abraham was told that out of his seed would come someone. And so that signified that it would be a man. And we have this need for a man. I'm a very simple person. I don't have a lot of education. And I find myself in great need all the time. I need someone. We sense this need in many ways. You know, I have a little business and I don't know much. I get over my head all the time and I'm always looking for advice and I'm always thinking I need someone. I need to be networked with someone. And we sense that need. When we consider God, we sense that there's a need. We need someone. And people often think that the pastor is that someone. That go-between, you know. Hey, can you pray for me? I think your prayers get answered. You know, mine I don't know about. And we have that need. We need someone. We need someone with greater means, with greater spirituality, but we also need someone who's a man. Someone who understands me. Someone who understands where I'm at. And the prophet was very much a man. The prophet was different from the priest in that he didn't have to fall after all those many qualifications. Hosea was a prophet and he was told to marry a harlot. That could not fly in the priesthood. A prophet was very much a man. He was all man. We needed someone to go between us and God. In Exodus chapter 2, those gentlemen that were up singing from Flat Rock sang about Moses in Exodus chapter 2 and his calling. While we're in Acts chapter 7, let's back up just a moment and read verses 24 and 25. Well, we should read verses. We'll back up a little further and read verse 22 of Acts 7. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now we're talking about Moses, but Moses is picturing the Lord here. He desired to come to his brethren. He desired to visit them. In verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. He had a heart towards the people. If we look at all the prophets in the Old Testament, we'll see that their lives were very sacrificial lives. We don't find much about their lives, but we find that their lives were about the people. And they had a heart for the people, and we'll see this about Moses as we continue to study on. We're going to look at a bunch of passages in the book of Exodus. We're going to read from three or four different chapters in the book of Exodus, and we'll try to move along and not take too much extra time. As we look at this idea of Moses being a picture of Christ, because Moses said, a prophet like me shall he raise up. Well, what is that? What was he like? What was Moses like? In Exodus chapter 3, when the Lord was calling him, we'll look at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He was very lowly, very humble, and very lowly. We need someone very humble and very lowly. Jesus humbled himself as a man.
Amen.
He became lower than the angels, we read in Hebrews 2, for our sake. And we need someone like that, don't we?
Amen.
Don't we long for a counselor that will come, that we can lay our burdens on, that we can talk to about our problems? There's men in this room that I've done that with. I try it. And who do we look for? We look for someone that's humble. We look for someone that's not going to tear us apart because we're fragile. Our hearts are fragile. And we need someone tender. We need someone between us and God to help us. We have a great need of that. If you're lost, you should sense that need. You need someone between you and God. How can we pray to God? How can we understand His Word? How we need someone. Someone like this Moses, very humble. Who am I that I should go? He was a very lowly person. He said, I can't speak. I'm just simple. Exodus chapter number 14. In verse 13, we're just getting little glimpses here of Moses along the way. I want to paint you a spiritual picture of Moses, and hopefully that'll help us to see Jesus in some way. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. He was a comforter for the people that He led. We see in the New Testament is just very, very gentle words to His sheep. Now, many times He was harsh with the Pharisees, but we find such gentle leading of this shepherd. Just so very gentle and comforting. Fear not. We see Him in the New Testament saying, peace be still, and calming the waters. We need someone like that today. You sense the need for someone to calm your fears. You know it. We go looking to our parents, you know, or we go looking to someone else, and we need someone. I think sometimes we go trusting in other things. We need to find in the Lord. Sometimes wives look for things in their husbands. They need to find from the Lord. Sometimes husbands look for things in their wives. They need to find from the Lord. A great comforter, great encourager. Just a little ways over in chapter number 15, one of the things that we regularly see Moses doing is interceding for the people. There are many different passages concerning his interceding in Exodus chapter 15. And they ran out of water again, and in verse 25 of chapter 15, and he cried unto the Lord. You know, the New Testament tells us that he that searcheth the hearts, he's making intercession for us. You know, I sometimes I think about those that are close to me that have gone on before, and I wonder how much they know about my circumstances down here. I wonder how much they know about difficulties that are going on down here. I wonder if at times they're troubled to take up our cause, and we don't find the Scripture speaking on these matters. It's pretty silent in many cases. Maybe you know some Scriptures I don't, but I've not studied that much. But you know, I got to thinking about that, and whether they care or if they're talking about those things. And then I thought, you know, we've got one up there that we know sees.
Amen.
We've got one up there that we know is crying out for us.
Amen.
And not only that, but has the right to, the authority to. We see that Moses cried unto the Lord for these people. I really like seeing him as the intercessor here. Just a few chapters over in chapter number 18. I really like this picture. Moses in this chapter, he meets up with his father-in-law. His father-in-law is a priest of Midian. And his father-in-law gives him a little advice here. They rejoiced together, and then his father-in-law gave him some advice, and we'll pick up in chapter 13, or verse 13 of chapter 18, Exodus 18, 13. And it came to pass on the morrow when Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning to even." And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me. And I judge between one another, and do make them know the statutes of God and His laws." What are you doing, Moses? You're spending all day and all night judging these people, one by one, listening to their problems, one by one. So you're going to wear yourself out, Moses. You can't do this. But there's one that can. Oh, it was in Moses' heart. He desired, he longed to be between God and the people. He wasn't going to let one go by. He was going to be between God and the people, and he desired to do it. He longed to do it. He couldn't possibly turn them away. It wasn't in his heart to do it. He said, what can I do? They come to me to come to God, and I'm going to be there. What can I do? Well, Moses was not God, and he did not have the strength to do this. And his father-in-law was very wise in advising him to set up some men to help him with the task. But we see the word there, "Why sittest thou thyself alone?" The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified alone. He wanted to take it all. He wanted every bit of it. He didn't want to leave any of it for you to carry. All of his disciples forsook him. There was not a one that carried his burden into the judgment hall but him. In Isaiah chapter 50, in verse 5, Isaiah 50 and verse 5, "The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back." Turned away back. Speaking of Jesus. "I gave my back to the smiters." I gave it to them. I wasn't going to leave any of the pain for you. I wasn't going to leave any of the shame for you. He took it all. He did nothing on the cross to escape pain, nothing to escape punishment, nothing to escape shame. All of it. He took it all. "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair." Now, you ladies might not understand that, but that is painful. That is painful. I hate shaving. I just can't stand it. The other day I had the best shave in the world. I realized the guard was still on my razor. Man, I thought, I got to buy more of these. These are great. I love those, but it's no good. It's painful. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He desired to take it all. Moses couldn't. He was limited. He was a man. But oh, dude, can you see him sitting there? Can you see him sitting down, this gentle Moses, and listening to all their problems? Isn't that what we need? Some of you may dump all your problems on the preacher. But you know he's got his too. He's just a man. He's not perfect. He doesn't have every answer. He's dealing with sins of his own. He's dealing with problems and difficulties. You know, sometimes pastoring is a lonely place. One of the things about pastoring is it forces you to come and meet with Jesus. There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to hang your burdens. You know, sometimes I think about calling brother so-and-so and I think, he's got more burdens than I got. I can't hang mine on him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, a very present help in time of need.
Amen.
All man and all God, a great mystery we can't understand, but how we need that. He desired. We see his desire in the book of Hebrews, and he said it behooved him to be made like to his brethren, that he might be a faithful high priest. I'm going to try not to preach on high priest, but he desired to take that position, to be that one. In Isaiah 59, while we're in Isaiah, just a little passage that I like. Isaiah 59, verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Isn't that the world we're in today?
Yeah.
You depart from evil, and all of a sudden you got a target on you from Satan, and he's coming after you. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man. He wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. He saw that there was no man. You know, if you idolize preachers or anyone else, they'll let you down. They'll discourage you. There's no man like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's
Amen.
The one you need.
That's right.
Exodus chapter 32. Just think about these things. Just try to picture Moses, and he gave his life for this. For what? His whole life to lead these people, to stand between God and man. Our eyes, our spiritual eyes are so dim that we need these pictures of real men to help us comprehend God. We need all these types and symbols to help us try to see and understand God. And I find that it helps me to see better when I look at these. And I dig through the Old Testament like I'm digging for treasure, because these types, they help me to understand mercy and how deep it is. And if you are ever in need of a blessing, you just go digging, go looking. Don't sign on Facebook. This is God's Facebook. Get in, sign, log on, Don't ignore him. Log on and look for him. Seek him. Go digging. You'll find little treasures that'll just bless you, and then you can share those with other people. And that's Moses to me. It was just a treasure to. I've read that story about him judging the people many times and never thought about Jesus between us and the Lord. And you can find your own blessings in Exodus 32 and children of Israel had sinned. In chapter 32 and verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. I can't imagine uttering those words to the Lord. I just can't even fathom it. But Moses, a type of Christ, a picture of Christ, was willing, we read the Apostle Paul was willing also to do the same for Israel. He was willing to be blotted out that these people could have an inheritance with God. I can't imagine that, but that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to do. He left His throne in glory. Amen. He walked on this dirty earth for 33 years. And then He paid our hell. Don't think that that was a small thing just because He was God. He said, I exceeding quake in fear. Mm-hmm. He feared. He was scared of that. He felt that as a man. Then the Lord said unto Moses, whoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go lead the people. What a picture we see in Moses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many of these pictures in the Old Testament revealing Jesus unto us. A prophet like me. Sometimes we haven't painted the proper picture of the Lord in our mind. And again, I mentioned it takes discipline to do that. We have to stop and discipline our minds to not think about other things and to think about what He is as a person. You know, when we think about people, we think about the things they've said or the things they've done or what their general demeanor is. And we need to do that about the Lord, to think about when you try to imagine Him as big and great, don't try to get a vision of what His body looks like. Try to get a vision of His person, of who He is, and see this gentle Moses meeting with every single one, listening to every request, every difficulty, and carrying every burden, willingly taking all of those. A prophet like me. The book of Deuteronomy says that since that time there was not a prophet like that. Until the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was one of a kind, and he, as a prophet, pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a prophet because he knew some future things, but everything about him, revealing God to us, going between God and us. And you're going to see these same attributes in priest and king. And we'll see these things three times, four times over today, I'm sure. But what a lovely picture if you can just get a hold of that in your mind. And let that bless your heart. Micah 6:8 says, He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Do you love mercy? If you look at these types and symbols, you will. It'll stir your heart to see this gentle soul. He is what you need to go between you and an almighty God. And yet he has all the facilities of Almighty God. He has all the capabilities, all the power, all the righteousness. He's no less God. Not in any way less God because he was the God-man. But every bit what you need. You know, I think I always joke, you know, if I could have lunch with a millionaire, I'd be all set. I got all kinds of ideas. I got things, you know. If I could just get connected. You know, we're connected. We're connected in every way we need to be connected. Much of this life is about, to you as a Christian, bringing you to a place where you find Him to be everything you need. Amen. And He may go through the painful process of stripping other things away until we get to that place where we find in Him what we need. And if Job said what he said, that he had not seen God, certainly we've got a long ways to go. Our vision and our view of Him is so microscopic. It's so tiny compared to what He really is as a person. What He's really able to do in our souls. Thank you. Amen.